from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Welcome back to the program. Pacifica Foundation has cut 7 full-time positions, including both hosts and staff from KPFA, the most popular and biggest revenue-producing program's morning show. Pacifica Foundation blames economic hard times and fiscal mismanagement, while supporters of KPFA, including protesters who have gathered to show their support for the station, are pointing blame directly at Pacifica. And we want to take up the conflict in this half hour of Forum. Joining us in studio is Arlene Engelhardt, who is Executive Director of Pacifica Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also joining us in the studio is Larry Bensky, former National Affairs Correspondent for Pacifica Radio and former host of KPFA's Sunday Salon. And good morning, Larry Bensky.
Nice to see you again, Michael.
Good to see you. And let's begin, Arlene Engelhardt, with you. And let's find out why this happened. Fiscal mismanagement has been pretty much the story from your perspective.
Well, it's a combination, I think, of some fiscal mismanagement, but part of it is economic hard times. And as we know, during these times, nonprofits particularly are suffering, as is practically everyone in the economy. And so consequently, my goal is to make sure that all 4 of our stations and the network remain as strong and healthy as possible.
The argument we've been hearing, though, is this is the cash cow for you. This is the program that brings in more money for Pacifica than any other.
Well, when I met with – let me start by saying that 2 years ago, the fiscal year ended on September 30th, 2009, actually 1 year ago, KPFA had gone through all of the reserves that they had, which was close to $1 million, and had lost well over $900,000 more than they brought in. The fiscal year that just ended, this September 30th, they spent almost, it looks like the audit, those were audited figures. It looks like the audited figures are going to show that they spent $500,000 more than they brought in. And there just plain isn't cash left anymore. In fact, we had to really scramble and borrow money from another station in order to meet their payroll on September 15th. My goal is to keep meeting their payroll, and I can't keep meeting a payroll that they don't have enough dollars to support.
Well, I'm reading on the one hand about a $375,000 check that was left in a drawer for 14 months. That seems to me to be way out there in terms
exactly.
of... on the other hand, and tell me if these figures are right, KPFA claims, those who are certainly exercised about this, that it pays Pacifica $812,000 over the fiscal year of 2011, which is 22%. I don't want to get too bean counting here.
Well, actually, it was... I believe $539,000 in central services, and then they're adding on to that each time that we fronted a payroll or that we put out expenses that should have been coming out of their pocket that they didn't have enough to cover, and so consequently we billed them back. They're including that in the figures.
But they're saying it's more than you're proposing as a cut. Is that true? In other words, they give you more, essentially, as their foundation in charge of things than they're cutting, than you want to cut.
It's actually pretty close when you look at the number of staff cuts. You know, that $500,000 is pretty much, that would pretty much be a wash.
Well, what happens to the morning show in all this? Are you going to be syndicating?
Only on a short-term basis are we bringing in some programming from outside. It will be a local program. When I met with the union during their contract renewal earlier this year, they realized and agreed with me that there wasn't probably going to be any choice other than to make some cuts. And the thing that they emphasized to me was that you must do this according to seniority. Now, when I look at on-air hosts, that's exactly what I did, was work with the on-air hosts in terms of seniority, with one exception. Mitch Jezerich is the host of the popular Letters to Washington. And one of the caveats in the contract is, provided that the person has the skill set to bump somebody or to be moved to another slot. Well, I don't think anybody has the skill set to replace Mitch Jezerich.
Arlene Engelhardt here with us in studio again as Executive Director of Pacifica Foundation. Before we bring Larry Bensky into the conversation, it's also been charged that the same day this happened with the morning show, the staff had filed an unfair labor practices complaint to the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, for violation of workers' union contracts. Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. So let me bring you in, Larry Bensky. Do you see a cause and effect there, a connection?
Well, let me first of all say, Michael, I retired from KPFA and Pacifica 3.5 years ago, and I have not at all followed closely what's been going on. But 2 days ago, and I've tried to take myself off every listserv, every blog,
You're too identified with both the foundation and KPFA to do that. It's impossible.
It's impossible. I couldn't set up enough filters to have it happen.
And even I listened to your Sunday Salon when I was in Tampa.
Thank you. But 2 days ago, I got a very disturbing email from someone who said, did you hear what's happening? The morning show is being entirely laid off and they're going to pipe in a remote program from Los Angeles. And I said, what on earth is this? And I called somebody up who's involved in the program. They said, yes, it's true. And this disturbed me very much for 3 reasons and got me out of retirement, which I dearly would love not to have been gotten out of, to get involved in this morass again in which I spent.
There are people who miss your broadcasting, Larry.
Well, I'm sure. I know you're one of them. You're as a faithful listener, Michael, as I am to you. But after 40 years of this, I really thought that perhaps the rest of my life could be profitably spent not having the stress of a Pacifica situation again. But when I spoke to this person, it disturbed me very much for 3 reasons. Number one, KPFA was founded on and exists on being community radio, not radio piped in from Los Angeles or anyplace else. Number two—
Although Ms. Engelhardt said this is temporary.
Well, we'll see about that, and we'll see the competence and the ability to attract listeners that she gets or anybody gets when you replace a highly competent, well-listened-to staff with people like Brian Edwards-Tiekert and Amy Allison and Esther Mania and Laura Privis and Eileen Alfandary, all of whom I worked with closely in my time.
Actually, Eileen Alfandary, there's no question that she will still be there.
Well, there's no question in your mind. There might be a question in hers as to whether she wants to participate in some sort of amateurish clown show that you manage to put on with people who don't know what they're doing. And maybe we'll get to standards of broadcast in a minute. So it disturbed me that it was not going to be local. Number two, it disturbed me that these people who have gained an audience and credibility and are some of the few journalists, true journalists left in Pacifica, would be laid off at a time like this when, number three, we've just had an election nationally when some of the most benighted, reactionary, anti-humanist forces in our political system have gained a strong foothold in power. I'm referring to the Tea Party Republicans. Pacifica Radio exists to bring truth to power. It was founded at moments of crisis and strife politically. We're having one right now.
And have had many through the years.
And have had many through the years.
It sounds a little bit sometimes like Trotskyites and Stalinists, forgive me. But
It may sound like that to you. It doesn't sound like that to me. What it sounds like to me is the weakening of one of the true independent voices that could build an audience at a time like this of all times. What do you do? You take away the program that raises the most money, that has the best fundamental journalistic approach to what's needed in my mind and in many people's minds now, a potential audience expander, and you lay off the people and you decimate it. That seems to me to be a very short-sighted and very foolish thing to do against Pacifica principles and very dangerous politically.
I also heard you talking about the fact that there wasn't transparency from Pacifica, as you felt. And yet Pacifica, and I think Ms. Engelhardt has said, there have been open audits each year, and that fiscal mismanagement by KPFA plays a very central role in this. There's a drop of $500,000 just last year in listener donations.
I could not sympathize more with Ms. Engelhardt in this respect. I have watched fiscal mismanagement be a cancer upon this organization for many, many years. On the other hand, as far as transparency goes, if you go to the Pacifica webpage, and I'd be happy to share it with Ms. Engelhardt on my laptop that's right here in front of me, the last figures you can get are from July of 2009. Now, I can't make an informed judgment. She obviously has more figures at her disposal. And I don't think listeners who should have transparency, that's one of the things we fought for 10 years ago, was economic transparency. You look at Pacifica's webpage, what's the lead story? Pacifica Radio is 60 years old, a story posted on April 15th, 2009. You look at their financials, July 2009. I don't know what's going on, and I don't think this is responsible. She may well be, and I suspect she is, justified in being seriously alarmed at the economic circumstance of the organization. But we who support the organization, who are part of it, the listening community, the workers, etc., have no way of knowing if what she's saying is true.
Let me do this. I know there are many of you who would like to weigh in here and join this conversation, so I'm going to open the phone lines now and invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available, and of course, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, you can join the program now. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, that's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or a number of other ways you can register your concern or join the conversation and bring forth questions or comments. Of course, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Arlene Engelhardt with us in studio, executive director of Pacifica Foundation. Larry Bensky is former national affairs correspondent for Pacifica Radio, jumping out of retirement here and running to the cause. Also former host, as many of you remember, of KPFA's Sunday Salon. Supporters of KPFA radio are saying through protests at recent layoffs at the community station are unheralded, unnecessary. KPFA's parent network, Pacifica, has cut the equivalent of 7 full-time positions. That includes both hosts and staff of their most popular locally produced program, The Morning Show. And Pacifica says the cuts were necessary in this bad economy. KPFA supporters say it's killing the program that brings in the most pledged dollars, and it doesn't make any sense. I want to get to our callers and our emailers, but let's get a response from what you heard from Larry Bensky, Arlene Engelhardt.
Well, first of all, I agree with him that our website needs a lot of updating, and unfortunately, my budget has not allowed me to put the resources into the website that I'd like to. It's one of the many things on my plate for the hopefully coming year. One of the problems is that it's not only KPFA, but 3 of our stations are in pretty severe financial duress and have not paid all of their central services. And those central services go to pay for things like Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, the annual audit. We trimmed staff at 4 of the 5 stations 2 years ago. All 5 stations were asked to make cuts at that time, but KPFA resisted. And because each station does control their bank account, they were able to do that so long as they had the money to meet payroll. Unfortunately, push came to shove on September 15th when they couldn't make payroll and we had to jump in and help them or shut the doors. And that is what we will not do. Everything that we're doing right now or everything that I'm doing is aimed at my best efforts to make sure that all 5 of our stations stay on the air. I think that having a progressive network in this country is one of the most important things that could possibly happen, and it would be absolutely criminal for it to fail.
Well, Larry Bensky, it's been the contention of those who are pretty much concerned about what Pacifica is doing and charging Pacifica and pointing the finger at Pacifica for the problem, that they could cut the budget of the national staff that's running Pacifica, that support for the national staff and the national board and the bureaucracy is really a big part of the problem financially, even in these hard times. You agree?
I don't know, because I don't have the figures. I can't get the figures from the website. I don't know how much they spend. I don't know what they spend it on. Even their 990 forms, which are supposed to report the executive salaries, didn't have Ms. Engelhardt's salary
on it.
That's
because I wasn't there.
Well, I've since learned it's $90,000
a year. She's made it public. Yes. It's $90,000.
And I don't think that that's an excessive amount of money to pay for somebody in her position. But I would like to ask her, when you were hired, Arlene, for this job, the people who hired you from the Pacifica National Board, did they ask you for your plans for fundraising for the organization and what you intended to do about what you must have known at the time was a rather dire financial circumstance? And if so, what did you respond?
Yes, I did. Yes, they did, I should say. And what I responded was that, number one, I was going to work with each one of the stations in order to help them improve their on-air fundraising, move into more areas of grants and working with their large donor programs.
And how's that working out? Not very well.
Well, I've definitely worked with them on the on-air fundraising, and we've done some successful grant writing in a couple of stations. To be perfectly honest, my first marching orders were to hire managers for the stations that had interim managers, and that in the Pacifica tradition, and according to the bylaws, is a long and daunting process. so that's taken a great deal of energy this year. The other thing has been working with the stations in order to bring their budgets and their expenditures into line with their income. You know, you can't, in your household, spend more than you bring in most cases. You know, maybe you've got credit cards and you can run them up. And the same thing is true for most businesses. And
I think
that's
what you're saying is you're avoiding insolvency here.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Michael,
and unfortunately, I've spent more time putting out fires than I have moving forward, which has been frustrating and seems to be a part of the Pacifica tradition.
Yeah, but what's being neglected here are two things. Number one, there's a ridiculous governance structure, which Ms. Engelhardt is the victim of. These elected local boards and an elected national board with 122 different elected officials, extremely wasteful, time-consuming, anti-democratic elections where almost nobody votes and people manipulate and politic inside. Tremendous energy drain. And number two, Michael, we need to be talking about radio stations and radio programming. Budgets, of course, are important. Personnel is important. Deficits are important. Everything that we're talking about here is important. But these are five radio stations. When you come into a situation like this, Arlene, and you see that the organization is basically going head over heels towards bankruptcy, what I think your priority needs to have been and still needs to be is what kind of programs can we broadcast that will draw an audience that will support us as they have over the years? And nothing seems to be done about that ever, before you, during you, et cetera, except for people to wring their hands and say, well, can we get more premiums to give away? Or how can we increase the number of donors and the number of days? I have to go to New York sometimes for business and family reasons. I listen to WBAI. Every single time I turn on that station, it seems, in the last two or three years, they're in a fund drive night and day. And basically, it's basically the home shopping channel of the left. It's buy this CD for WBAI, or they don't even say for WBAI. Buy this book. Get yourself a prayer cloth or something. You know, it's like a ridiculous...
Prayer cloth with Noam Chomsky's image. Let me get our callers involved in this. In fact, I think the first caller is Brian from Berkeley, who, was the host of the morning show or up until recently. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Michael. I wanted to bring the conversation back to the central point here, which is that the only program at KPFA that has been targeted for involuntary layoffs is the single most profitable radio program in the station in terms of fundraising. The morning show raises over three times what it costs during KPFA's fund drives. And during our union meeting, many staff who work on other programs have expressed concerns that without the fundraising our program contributes to the station, other programs with paid staff working on them will be the next to follow because many of them draw subsidies from our efforts in the morning. I also wanted to put the question to Arlene Engelhardt. Our staff has been laid off but will be paid through early December because of the notice requirements in our our union contract. We've been willing to continue putting the program on the air. If this is a measure you're taking out of financial necessity, why have you taken our program off the air before you figured out what you're going to replace us with?
The reason for taking it off the air, Brian, is that there has been so much one-sided spewing that it makes for very bad radio. If it had been good radio continuing, I would have been happy to continue it.
What do you mean one-sided spewing? If you listen to any other programs on KPFA?
On the morning show.
I'm not saying they're the only program doing that. I'm just saying that that's a situation there. And I just want to go back to the fact.
I think it was Aaron Glanz who wrote an article and said that maybe there was concern about some of the content on KPFA, that there was too much attention being paid to the Messerly case, too much criticism of the Oakland police and so forth. That was not part of... why, for example, this has been taken now rather than later?
No, that had nothing to do with it. That is a local case, and I think it was very important programming.
Let me ask Brian, because we want to get to more of your calls here. It's also been put forward that Pacifica board members, interfered in KPFA's union contract. Has that pretty much been your experience?
Our union knows that three national board members drew up a name-by-name list of what staff members at KPFA they wanted laid off. Our union considers that a breach of our contract with management for board members to be involved and of the layoff process in our contract for them to be drawing up a list of people rather than a list of positions. And that's what we've taken to the National Labor Relations Board. My name was on that list. So was everyone else who's been laid off on the morning show. And apparently Arlene Engelhardt is now carrying out the list that was drawn up by those board members.
Gee, Arlene, it sounds like a political purge, doesn't it?
To be perfectly honest, I did not read that list. I'm not going to say I didn't have any knowledge of what they were suggesting, but I did not work with anyone else's recommendations. I did talk to the management staff at KPFA. I did talk to the national office staff, but not to board members in terms of any recommendations of who should be laid off or what positions should be laid off.
So you laid off Amy Allison and Brian Edwards Teekert and their producers.
One of their producers.
Because you felt that they were spewing one-sided material about
what? No, that's not why I laid them off. I laid them off because I needed to make cuts. And in order to preserve KPFA, we had to make some cuts. Fortunately, seven people who were a combination of mainly part-time, a couple of them were close to full-time, but I don't think any of them were 100%.
Let me thank Brian for the call. I want to actually go to more of your calls. As you can imagine, lots of people are concerned and want to get in here. Susan, join us. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for having this very timely program. As a person who is financially supports both KQED and KPFA, I'm a second-generation listener to KPFA. I find the morning show invaluable. I was just devastated this morning to not hear it and to have to hear something from Los Angeles. With all due respect, Michael, I don't want to see KPFA become an NPR station.
I don't think they do either, so rest assured
right,
on
that's
that.
Two of us.
Thank you for the call. Let me bring on Rebecca next. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi. This is obviously a very difficult situation, and I can really hear the electricity in the air. I also support both stations, and I recommend them to my students. I think what we desperately need is for KPFA to show that it is a voice for peace, and that's we need to fix this. We need to not let money destroy this vital station. This, prove that we can heal and work this out. You have to do that to show that what is really at the heart of KPFA, is something that you give us a message that not too many other places, that we don't hear in too many other places. So please heal this.
All right,
thank you, Rebecca. I couldn't agree with you more.
Good sentiment.
The political situation we're in right now, though, Arlene, I want to know how you plan to respond to the fact that there's a national commission about to report whose recommendation will be basically to devastate the Social Security safety net for the older people in this country, that there are hearings that are going to be scheduled in Washington by Daryl Issa, who is a newly appointed anointed committee chairman, which are going to try to turn Barack Obama into Bill Clinton, that there are people in the national political scene right now who have in mind continued militarism, including possibly bombing of Iran, supposedly in defense of Israel. And I'm just putting those three out there among many others that I could cite. Pacifica Radio has to be strong right now and organized and have consensus and national programming and leadership from people like you to be able to develop programs to respond to this. Laying off Amy Allison and Brian Edwards Teekert is not a creative first step in that direction.
And those are some of the issues that we have been covering nationally. That is one of the things that I have done since I've been there, is I have brought a number of things to the airwaves that are available nationally. Very recently, a major labor speech by the president of the Steelworkers Union talking about that very Social Security issue that you're talking about, Larry, and that concerns me greatly. What's happening or isn't happening, or what may happen negatively in our national government and in our international involvement, concerns me greatly. One of the reasons that I believe in Pacifica and that I took on this task, which I knew was going to be very difficult when I took this job, is because I do so much and have been a lifelong activist for peace and social justice. The concerns of real people are at the core of my being, and I have to say that one of the distressing things of moving to Berkeley is the number of homeless people that I encounter every time I walk to work.
Amen. But in laying off people who have the skills and the audience-building capabilities and the relationship to broadcasting like Amy Allison and Brian Edwards Teekert, you are not taking a step in a positive direction. What you're doing is going towards sandbox radio rather than something that can attract a major
national audience. Not necessarily. They aren't the only people that have those skills.
Let me just jump in here for a moment.
No, they aren't, but they're two of the best that we've ever developed.
I'm not,
and getting
I'm
rid
in in no way denigrating them.
Larry and Arlene, if I may.
Not denigrating, but you're getting rid of them.
Let me jump in here for a minute, because we've got some emails that I want to address to each of you, and perhaps you can come to some, at least, synthesis through the emails that are asking, I think, important questions. The first one gets back to the financial situation. It's from Max Blanchett, who I'm sure you probably know, Larry, a longtime Haiti activist over in Berkeley. He says, the current financial crisis is a result of the financial mismanagement at KPFA. To wit, KPFA management squandered nearly $1 million in reserves in fiscal year 2009 because it did not make the necessary cuts demanded by the PNB and the previous CFO and ED. Had cuts been initiated 2 years ago, today's painful cuts might have been avoided. In addition, under previous management, a check in the amount of $375,000 was misplaced. I mentioned that earlier. And he goes on to say, some of us genuinely believe that these two incidents of mismanagement were not an accident. It was a maneuver to force the station and Pacifica into bankruptcy with two goals in mind, namely to break the Pacifica network and set KPFA free and do away with democratic governance.
There's so much packed into that that I wouldn't even begin to know where to address it. But I would like at some point to find out about this $375,000 check, because if it was lost in a drawer, it leads to charges of serious malfeasance on two parts. Not only the person who lost it in the drawer, but if you write a check to somebody for $375,000 and it isn't cashed and you're the person who wrote it, don't you ask after a while what happened to that money? That check smells like a red herring to me, Michael.
Now, let me get some response from Arlene about what may or may not be red herrings. A music program host. Go ahead quickly.
On the $375,000 check, there are issues there that I can't discuss because there are human relations issues that I have to stay away from. But we do know that it was in a file folder, that it was claimed to have been forgotten, but we subsequently found out that the person was reminded by the granting institution that the check was there and, in effect, said not to cash it.
Well, I won't ask you to divulge anything that you don't want to divulge here, but maybe you might tell us how you made the decision on seniority. And also, there's a listener here who says, please discuss the sustainable budget proposed by the union and passed by the local station board, which was not even considered by Pacifica.
I'll be glad to go into that. The way I made the decision was, first of all, was that I had a list of people by hire dates, and I sorted it according to hire date, and then I looked at it according to comparable positions, and I worked with that.
Michael, I just wanted to get in. I know we're ending here. 10 seconds. KPFAworker.org is where people need to go to find out what's going on. And Arlene, I wish you the best of luck. I volunteer to work with you in any way I can to help keep Pacifica alive. But I think people out there really need to get behind the staff at this point and the true principles of this organization.
And the cuts that were suggested by the union to the LSB were basically governance cuts that I don't have any control over. So they weren't going to help my budget.
The fact that we're out of time.
Right.
Sam Harris in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.